guys, it's Jake Furo here, back with another episode of GRT. It's been a long time coming, and it's been so long, and we've missed you so much, but here's my co-host.
It's awesome. The Spring!
I missed hearing that.
Huh?
So much. I miss hearing that.
You ain't miss hearing nothing.
Maybe a little bit.
I've returned from the sixth dimension.
I actually take it back. I've actually listened to the podcast because I'm narcissistic. So I didn't miss it. I've heard it recently. But it is nostalgic hearing it again. So thank you, Soul Spring, for reminding me of how much I love a podcast.
I tried to sell that, but, you know, it was already sold up by Don Cornelius.
But yes, once again, we're back. We know it's been a long time. We're reviving our awesome podcast because why not? And why not?
Why not?
Because we're awesome. And
you're all right, awesome. Y'all really want to know the story of why I went away. I left the country for a little while. I was gone. Jay had some replacements. They didn't really quite come through. There are some guests who's going to be coming along with her, you know, but right now she's stuck with me. She's stuck.
And I cut both my middle fingers while he was gone. So
yeah, trying to, you know, cook fish or something.
Yeah, it was salmon, okay?
That's salmon?
It's a different breed of fish. You don't even know.
Yeah, it swims against the current. I eat tuna that swim with it. So what have you been playing? That's what I want to know. What have you been playing?
It's been a long time, but so recently I've been playing Borderlands 2, of course, which me and Soul Spring got into a little while ago. We'll get into that in a second. That's a whole other story for a second from now. Azure's Wrath, which was a Christmas present. It is literally a game for stoners. Some of you guys told me it was like Dragon Ball Z on steroids, and you were right, but it's also one of those games that makes no sense. I played for 2 hours. I didn't know what was going on.
Azure's Wrath. I played Azure's Wrath, the demo.
No, I literally played for 2 hours. And I still have no idea what is going on. All I know is I'm a dude named Azura.
And he's pissed.
Looks like the man from with an iron fist or whatever.
And he's pissed.
Yeah. Absolutely. Everyone's pissed all the time. He's just like, I'm on steroids. I got to fight everybody. Oh, my God.
There's a ship. Give me my other arms.
Just go destroy everything.
I'm glad you
Starship Troopers.
Yeah. Starship Troopers. Now, did you happen to mention Borderlands?
Yes, I did.
Borderlands 2, right?
Yeah.
I hate that game. I absolutely, positively, I can't stand it. People like, Borderlands 2 was awesome.
No,
Jay
listen,
was like, hey, you got to check out Borderlands 2. It's awesome.
You had a very unique experience, okay? You had a very unique experience.
It is not about having a unique experience. Now, Jay told me this game was supposed to be awesome. I saw so many people that said this game is awesome. Bazillions and millions of guns again. So I'm like, I beat the first Borderlands. I got to like level 48 or something like that. I got to like 52 or something.
Cause I think we maxed 65. That out.
Yeah, I probably did. Because I had the Omega mod. I decided, all right, I'm going to jump into this one and start playing. And you know how you get the golden keys, right? I get the golden keys and I'm thinking I'm going to get me something that, I'm finna get some bad guns out of this golden key chest. Now, Jay is a witness because she was here. They gave me.
I testify to what is gonna occur here.
They gave me grenades, then shields, and two bazookas. Two bazookas. I used four golden keys and didn't get. And I'm finna get real country. I didn't get another gun. I was really upset. You know what I'm saying? Because I got 10 keys out of nowhere. I used those keys. And the thing is, this is not the first time that's happened. I've used 7 golden keys. They gave me guns one time. And that was last night.
Can you just say the southern term one more time?
Not now, another gun came up out that box.
Not what?
Not now, another gun.
Say it again.
But, and then, you know, and then here's the other kicker. Myself and Jay, we finally get to the board where we get to fight Jack.
I can admit, this was kind of messed up.
We finally get to fight Jack. And what was the name of the monster at the end?
The Warrior.
The Warrior. We get to I am the Warrior. We finally get there, right? The theme song is playing in the back. We cheat because we're not strong enough to really kill him. So we in the back shooting
him
in the ribs.
Well, no, what happened was I'm level 32. You're level like 26.
I was 20, yeah. 26 yeah, something like that.
So the Warrior's my like level. So I can like kind of take it on a little bit. But let's like sit back a little while just to make sure
we
don't die.
That one. So, you know, we're back there shooting, running up, grabbing ammo, going back shooting. You know, and the Warrior dies, right? We run up to go call the moonshot. And we can't call it because the Warrior fell on the panel. He fell on the panel. We can get to the panel, but we can't press the button because the warrior died on the panel.
And let me explain this to you guys. Some of you might not get it, but like, imagine you have a dog who just laid on the remote and he's knocked out. It's nothing you can do without compromising everything in your life right now. Nothing. Nothing.
So to continue on this tale, we decide that, hey, we're going to back out of here. Right? Because there's a fast travel station right there in the Warrior's Lair. At the Warrior's Lair. There's a fast travel station. So I'm thinking to myself, if we can fast travel.
No, mind you, beforehand, the whole path through like Heroes Pass, we just freaking Ramboed through.
Yeah, we Ramboed through.
Because once again, I'm level 32, he's level 26. Because it's going to be really difficult getting through here. And everyone else knows this whole area was just a smorgasbord of kerfuffles everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. It was
so,
it was a total ripoff, man.
Kerfuffle.
Truffle.
We Ramboed through.
It was not Smurferific.
Then getting to that freaking door was terrible.
I don't even want to talk about that.
So.
And we spent a whole lot of time on Borderlands because it sucked and everybody said it was awesome. In my mind, sucked. So we back out of there and then realize we can't fast travel back to where we were. So guess what? We got to go through again. Heroes Pass. Guess who responds? Everybody back. But guess who does not respond? Brick and Mordecai are no longer fighting alongside you. So we got to go to that
But the big constructor wasn't back either. So
the constructor came back the first time we tried to run through there.
Yeah, the first time. Yeah, sorry.
The second time we got there before he decided to make his way in.
Somehow. I don't know how that happened.
So Borderlands 2 out of 5 stars, you get a 2.5 in Soul Spring's book.
Personally, I liked it. Of course, it was nothing new from the first game, which I wasn't really expecting. It had problems. Obviously, a lot of problems came out of play with Soul Spring here, but I really enjoyed the game. I loved it. So, yeah.
I was not a fan. I've been playing a lot of NBA 2K13 as well, and that's really about it. I am waiting, and you know what? I'm going to bring this up later on. What's next topic? Because let me get off Borderlands. Yeah, we spent too much time on
games been playing stuff, Resident Evil 6, other good stuff.
It's the first time we've been back in how many months? Since August of last year?
I think so. Yeah. I played Resident Evil 6. I cried. We tried some gameplay, but for some reason, I thought, even though I'm like partially blind, that I'm going to go ahead and turn the settings all the way down to like lowest brightness ever because it told me to. And.
Well, see, I follow a general rule of thumb. If I'm playing a game that has a bunch of surprises and are going to try to scare me, it is a default that I turn the brightness all the way up.
Well, I wasn't really thinking. I was like, oh, I'm still laughing because this 6 looks like a giraffe and some chick doing some stuff. So I'm giggling like, haha, this is all, I'm going to turn it down. Okay. And I start. And I don't care if I'm doing spoilers right now. I am going to do spoiler. I start the game in co-op, but I can't use my co-op buddy because he's out. I have to drag him everywhere. I can't run. I can't shoot. I can only use one hand and one foot. Finally, we do get up. We're stuck in an elevator with 2 zombies in the dark. It's like, I don't know what's... I cried. I didn't know what else to do. In the situation, if it was actually happening, Walking Dead, if it actually happened, I'm just telling everyone now, I'd be a good person to have, but first, let me get over an hour crying and possibly crapping myself
now,
first.
Now, see, it's at times like that in video games, I just do this thing called go back to Xbox Home. I don't want to die. I'm just gonna hit the middle button and hit Y. I'm not going through the menus. Yeah. I know the sequence to get back to Xbox Home, and I'm just gonna call it a wrap.
But let's keep going though, because our first topic, of course, was going to be China's apparently very illegal theme park. That is World of Warcraft based, that Blizzard has not known about until maybe yesterday, which we find hilarious because it's an awesome theme park. We'll leave like screenshots and everything down below or somewhere on here for you guys to look at. It's awesome. It costs $48 million to build, and it's been in existence for a good while now.
Jay showed me the pictures of this theme park, and I don't play World of Warcraft. But I would go because it looks freaking awesome. It's like traveling through Mordor. I mean, think about it. You can literally stand at the front entrance gate and Leroy Johnson your way into World of Warcraft land. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm pretty
about.
Sure it's been done multiple times.
I know. I mean, people just standing so I can in line. Do it. After everybody got their tickets, y'all got y'all tickets? All right, time's up. Let's do this. Leroy, right through the gate. Now, you won't be able to do it too well if they got a turnstile. But if not,
we can figure something out.
Get yourself in there.
But yeah, Smacks, you ain't got no shit.
But it looks pretty awesome. It looked like a place that I would enjoy, even though I'm not a World of Warcraft fan.
I don't think it's even meant for that. Even if you're just a gamer in general, since Game Nation isn't built yet, because they're all in like La La Land with that theme park.
You know what? I think that if you just enjoy theme parks, you would enjoy this one. Just from the look of it, I think you would enjoy it. Yeah. And I believe that I saw a Night Elf Mohawk in one of the pictures. Somebody see if they can verify that for me, but I think I saw one.
Go ahead and verify. But
you will win nothing.
That's just a fun little thing that popped up in the news recently. Otherwise, we will talk about the next gen consoles and the fact that I am 98.9999% sure there's going to be something at E3 about next gen consoles. Announcement, a huge hint. Something is going to come out, because there is no way Microsoft or Sony, as competitive they are, going to let Nintendo be ahead of the curve as far as next-gen consoles go. Despite how much the Wii U has gotten like bad rep so far, apparently it's okay for some people, but it's gotten a pretty bad rep. Apparently, no matter how bad or good it's doing, they ain't going to let nobody.
I'm hearing mixed reviews on the Wii U.
Because I got to play with it at E3 a little bit. It was like, this is cool. Not sure how I'm really going to use it very often, but it's a cool concept. I like it. It's cool.
I think out of everything I've seen, the one thing that I don't like is the battery life of the controller. But being able to continue a game and let somebody else take over the console, I would like that right now. Yeah. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that the controller don't last but a couple of hours. You know, I game more than that. On rare occasions, I game more than that. I forget to plug in my controller. And so I'll be upset. I'm trying to come up and play and my tablet don't work.
Yeah. But then again, there's lots of problems coming up with the next gen as well anyway. I talked about this in my videos a while ago, that Sony is trying to patent the ability to make it enable to for the PS4 to play used games.
That's ridiculous.
So they tried it before with PS3, but it didn't work. And I understand from both sides, the developers as well as the consumers, of why this is a bad thing. And it's kind of one of those things you're kind of like trying to see what's going to happen.
Well, really, you get a one-time sale.
Yeah. And because of the fact that most games in this generation last like 10 years or so have been one-play games, it's not really a good investment.
The number of games that have replay value,
the number of games I've owned in 10 years, like I've never sold.
Exactly. And adding to the fact that the games for the next-gen console are going to cost more than the $60 they cost now.
Yeah.
Normally, when next gen console comes out, the next game, it costs even more. Now, the only way that they can alleviate that and have that, you know, where you can only play a brand new game and not play used games, if you go to a non-media format and make them downloadable and drop the price dramatically. Yeah, that's the only way that I see
that it would work. And I understand, like, a lot of people saying the digital distribution era is going to be the next thing with the next console, which is going to be awesome. At the same time, since it is digital and not a physical copy, you need to drop the price from
$60. You got to drop the price.
And we're not saying that prices in the past have been a lot lower, because I actually have proof. Someone showed me that prices of video games didn't go up that much.
Yeah, they didn't. And even when you add in inflation.
But it's the fact that back then games were a lot more enjoyable. They were something you could play for hours and days and years. I mean, in my 64, I have like Zelda Majora's Mask and Ocarina of Time. I still play those games.
Come on, y'all. Tecmo Bowl. Some of y'all play that right now.
Yeah.
Right now. I know that I played a game of Madden and dropped Madden because we got into arguing about Tecmo Bowl and threw Tecmo Bowl up on the screen and played Tecmo Bowl. Some games are just classics. There are less classics coming out now.
Yeah, it's so many games nowadays where like, I'll play it, I'll enjoy it for a couple months, after that, I'm ready to sell it. I mean, I think the only game I've actually like had in my possession for a long time and have not sold is Black Ops, because I forget it's there.
Black Ops. Yep. Nope.
Not Black Ops 2, the first Black Ops.
Nope. The games that I have, and I want to mention this game later, but the games that I have that I've had for a long time and I'm not getting rid of is the Mass Effect series.
Yeah.
The Mass Effect trilogy. I'm not getting rid of them. And everybody.
They're good games anyway. But it's just those are games I would keep playing.
Yeah.
But it's just there's so few games in this last couple of years that have been games I keep playing and playing where I will not sell them or not get rid of them to have them only be one-time plays. And the fact that so many games come out, game for $60. It's a bad economy. $60. And the game comes out every Monday or Tuesday, I think it is.
Oh, my God.
So, if hardcore people like I used to be, that's like a game every couple of weeks. So, it's like $60 every couple of weeks of a game I'm only going to play once or twice. Like, I can't keep doing the whole brand new non-pre-owned thing.
No, I can't do it. I looked at it and you know, I looked down and I realized I had 20 game cases in like a year.
Yeah.
A year, maybe a year and 6 months. You talking about $60 a piece.
Yeah.
That's $1,200 on video games. That's when you say it out loud to yourself, you're like, I spent $1,200 on video games. And most of them, I'm beating them and that's it.
Yeah.
So I went to Gamefly. Yes, I'm a member of Gamefly.
But
and I ordered Halo 4, and this is a Gamefly plug. I ordered Halo 4 right when it came out and I received it from Gamefly. So I know a lot of people's like, well, you don't get the games. The games that I've been wanting, I've been able to get.
Yeah.
New and old. So give it a shot. No, we're not getting plugged by Gamefly, but you should be giving us money, Gamefly, just because. I can't tell you exactly why yet.
Funding.
Yes.
But yeah, I think the only game I've really like played this like last couple of months and actually keep playing is more like Borderlands.
Yeah.
Borderlands.
As much as I don't like it, I was playing it again last night.
I
know you have been playing it because I got your copy.
But I beat the 4 Cry 3 a couple of times, but like even then it's like it's not enough to actually like validate not ever selling the game.
What did you think of Far Cry 3?
Personally, I start thinking about it more and more. I start playing the game again. I liked Far Cry. I was expecting more from Far Cry. But I did like the game. As a first-time person coming into the series and the franchise, I've never played Far Cry before, but when I went to E3, I met someone who was really, really into it and a huge fan of it. He explained the concept to me, and I really liked the demo that they played for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I really got into it. I really liked the story and the characters, but I was expecting a lot more from the jungle and the psychological effects.
I went into it, man.
Because it's one of those games, like, it really is hard to get into. So I started thinking about the game, picking it apart a little bit, looking from a biased side. It is kind of hard to get into because the characters, like, they're rich douchebags. They're kind of hard to... Honestly, when you look at the characters, there are rich douchebags who have, like, these stupid problems. Yeah. And really hard to be, like, they're really hard to like.
Yeah. I think, though, I realize that I'm getting more critical and harsher on games. I used to just look at the IGN reports and GameSpot reports, and I would, like, agree. Like, yeah. But now I find myself, like, I play this game, and I'm like, it's good, but it's not as good as you saying it is. A lot of games aren't, they're not holding up to my to the scrutiny. I'm not seeing a game that blows me off my feet like a Deus Ex Revolution.
Deus Ex was like that huge exception. Like for me, Arkham City, Deus Ex, LA Noire, those were like these great exceptions to the...
Seeing, and it has me craving the next release
of those games. I actually have pointed out like the register for Arkham games, the Crystal Dynamics, I'm freaking... Who makes those? Can't remember the name.
Rocksteady. Yeah.
Apparently, they may be another one in the works right now. So
yeah, maybe Arkham on, World. Rocksteady. Maybe I'm fiending.
Maybe that Joker teaser meant something.
I'm fiending.
I need my Batman back.
I'm fiending.
Those
for
games
it.
Were amazing.
And but, that's the thing. Arkham City. I play Arkham City more than I play my newer games. It's ridiculous.
Because Arkham City was there's so many games where there isn't a whole lot to do anymore.
I finished all the Riddler trials. Done. I finished them.
I
went back and I'm getting my medals and all that stuff. I finished them. I just had to do it. I got all the Riddler trophies. I got all the Catwoman trophies. I'm done with that. Now I'm working on the little Riddler campaign, you know, beat 'em ups and all that stealth and all that good stuff. But that game to me has so much replay value.
Yeah.
You know, I bought the game a year after it was already out. After I already played it, I want to play this game.
So fun.
Give me some stuff like that.
Because it was just sitting in Blockbuster like $14.
Yeah, how many times did you play the first Mario Brothers?
I don't even know. I think I still...
Countless
amount
of times.
I think if I went home and saw it, I'd still pick it up just playing.
Countless amount of times. These are the type of games that we need. And the thing is, developers still have the ability to make them.
It's just the amount of time. Because like argument came up a while ago and they were making, I believe it was one of the newer games, BioShock, I think it was. Where there's so many possibilities you can have in a game. People really want to go into those possibilities and
the
storylines and things.
The future?
Yeah.
That one, yeah. You know,
there's so many things they want to take and the paths they want to take, but it's like you're making a game where 50% of the game, only about 10% are going to actually see these parts of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people don't have the money and like the patience anymore to actually make all those parts of the game.
Yeah.
We're going to see
it.
Because nowadays, gamers have grown up. Gamers can't have, like, we can have the 2D simple stuff and we still play it because there's arcade games that still play like crazy. But just we don't have as many things we can do simplified anymore. Gamers have grown up, so we want more complex, more character building and story.
Yeah,
and
all this good we stuff, do, so. But I think that should, I think like a good cautionary tale about where games are going, and because we've gotten to the era of where we want a new game every year.
Yeah.
But I think the cautionary tale of that is the Assassin's Creed series. When it was space between releases,
amazing.
The games were awesome.
And but I hate to say this because you guys know I am a diehard Assassin's Creed fan. I love Assassin's Creed. But just the last one, I couldn't get into it. I couldn't.
Soulspring did not finish Revelations. I did not finish. I finished Revelations. I didn't even play the last one.
Because I looked at it and I was like, eh, I don't know.
I haven't even played it. It did not interest me. The story didn't intrigue me. Now I went through and I've watched people play the game. You know what I'm saying? I've watched the ending. If I would have bought that game and got that ending, people thought the Mass Effect 3 ending was bad.
No, they Boba Fetted Desmond.
They Jango Fetted. No, Boba Fett. Yeah, both of them Fetted it.
They
Fetted Desmond. It was ridiculous. All right, I'm going to die now.
It's like a,
how does Desmond just
there's
die?
There's so much, because games, like, those are the one things you always need closure in. I don't care how biased your game is. I need some kind of, like, even a little speck of closure somewhere
now,
that this is something.
I'm going to say, since we're talking about closure, I am a Mass Effect fiend.
Here we go.
I'm a Mass Effect fan. Here we go. Here we go. And I've talked to Jay about this many times in between our podcasts, many times over the phone, face to face. Whenever we talk about video games, I've told her this, and I'm standing by, and you will hear it on this podcast. The game is not over. I'm letting you know now. The game is not over. The ending that they gave us is not the ending that was in. It was the ending intended, because there's something better coming down the pipeline. You heard it from Soulspring on GRT.
Said it
the
first.
Return.
We don't take
said
it from us, IGN.
It
we
is
had
not
first.
Over. Mass Effect 3 is not over. Shepard's story is not done. Got it from reliable sources, which is myself.
I was about to say right now again, GameFly Bioware funding, please. We helped you out here.
I'm going on the dark side. You have not seen the end of it. It they did this to us for a reason. I have that much faith in Bioware. And if you haven't seen, and I'm gonna plug, I can't remember his site, but go on to YouTube, look up The Indoctrination Theory, a documentary. It's three movies, they're about an hour and a half to an hour and 45 minutes long. God did an awesome job with him. And he pointed out inconsistencies that I see myself. But for people who have heard about the indoctrination theory and all that, they're a good watch if you're bored. But I'm going to go out and say, just from my personal experience with this game, it is not over. It is not over. Shepard's not dead. He takes the breath at the end. You have I can't even get into it. But I'm going out. I'm a conspiracy theorist. And I'm saying right now, in this case, I'm a conspiracy theorist, that BioWare chose to do this to us, so we'll be pissed, but they're going to end the game right this year.
Yeah.
March time frame, February, March time frame. I think we're going to hear about it.
I don't know. I'm just like, a lot of things I'm just kind of like hoping for this E3, because like E3 this year seemed like going to be a good year, because the last couple of years, it's been kind of like some weirdness going on. There's some like, meh. And that's what we were actually talking about, the whole next gen, because we gotten off topic with that completely.
Oh, but yeah, I know.
The
right?
next gen
it's
is
your
just
fault.
Because, yeah, it is. I'm sorry. My bad.
Yeah, didn't bring the water.
But the thing is that there's so much meh going on recently in the consoles that we have. They do have a lot of potential, but it's been so long since we really had like some good original games. All the games we've had the last couple of years have all been continuations of series. They've all been like just some reboot of something else. We haven't had any new IPs really, no new AAA titles. No new nothing, really. The only new thing we really have coming out that's really, like, out there is, like, Beyond Two Souls, Watch Dogs, and, like, one other game.
Yeah.
And otherwise, everything else just continuations and other things like that. And the fact that they have been out, so I think the generation this year has been pushing, like, 11, 12 years.
Yeah.
It's been pushing
up there.
And it's time for new consoles.
But I think that, I mean, if you look at, Bill Gates said he believed that Blu-ray was the last physical media that was going to
happen. I believe it will be.
Everything's going to cloud. You look at Adobe, they're going to cloud.
Well, everything's going to cloud.
Everything's going to cloud. And so,
even online, like all, like Google Chrome, it's all
online's going to cloud. Microsoft already has the cloud save.
Google Chrome has its own laptop. It's all internet based. It's all cloud.
Yes. So I think that I believe that the possibility of everything going cloud.
And then even at CES, everything was all about cloud and wireless. Everything was all about,
because it's the centralization of information. People, get off Facebook now. I'm just playing. but everything is going cloud, and so I just don't know what I'm looking forward to the next gen, but I know it's going to be a change. I believe that we're going to see a paradigm shift in the way that we do things. And are we going to be willing to accept that as gamers? Because, you know, gamers are some stubborn people. You know, yeah. when you got like something change that they love, you know, they want to love it. Think about how many people went ape bat crazy. You know, I want to say it, but how many people went crazy when the PS3 controller came out, the navigational star, without rumble pads?
Yeah.
You know, people lost their mind. People were upset about that. And so what is the new generation hold?
That's another thing I wanted to point out too, as far as Microsoft and Sony, because they both kind of pointed this out and threw it out there too, with the price range of their new consoles. Because everyone knows when PS3 first came out, the price tag was ridiculous. I mean, they were sales, but they weren't nearly as good as they expected them to be, because it was like maybe $600, $650.
Yes, I thought I would never get one. And turns out I don't have one still.
I remember when I came out, I was like, did my mom, like, please, mom, can you please give me one? Please.
You know what other game console came out that was ridiculous like that? Neo Geo. Neo Geo came out at a ridiculous price point compared to the Nintendo and the Sega Genesis at that time in that gaming era. It never did very well because of the price.
Yeah.
So what's going to be the price on these new ones we got coming
out? Not sure. Then again, even too at CES, NVIDIA, I think it was, had their own little gaming portable that they brought out too.
Handheld.
It was pretty awesome. And it was kind of its own handheld of its own kind of breed, because it wasn't a PSP, it wasn't a Vita, it wasn't Nintendo. It was actually its own breed of handheld. And I'm really interested in seeing how they're actually going to implement that more and put it out there, because now it seems like more other companies are getting into the gaming scene, because it's gotten so big over the last generation.
I mean, but think about this generation. You got tablets. Yeah. You got tablets. I mean, I game on my iPad. I game on my iPhone.
They have controllers for your iPad you can play with.
I'm cautious to say that I may get close to gaming as much on those as I do on my console, but that's because of the convenience. I can sit in my bed and start gaming, or I can be sitting at the doctor's office or whatever, start gaming. So I'm spending a whole lot of time gaming, and I'm enjoying it on those other media. So I wonder if Apple ever going
to... They actually discussed it before, because Nintendo actually offered them the chance to combine with them. It wasn't really something that was really big, but they kind of like offered, like, hey, let's make a console together. And Apple's like, no, we have further plans for that in the future, not right now. Mm. But they kind of hinted at them having plans in the future coming into the gaming industry.
People give Apple the business. But with Apple, you know, more integrating some of the PC parts into it. I'm an Apple guy. You can game on an Apple. I mean, all you got to do is boot camp. You can game on an Apple.
Well, they pride themselves on showmanship. So their showmanship is enough to make you buy the console.
And all that stuff. But because I admit, you can put together a slamming PC for much cheaper than you put together an Apple. But I'd rather have my Mac OS X. Yeah, you can do the Hackintosh. But if you're somebody like me who makes money off of using their machines, you really don't want to have a Hackintosh. Because you don't want to update something, man. But, you know, that's a whole nother conversation. We can talk tech one of these days.
Yeah,
one of these days. But I hope the next generation consoles, one, I know they're going to be pricey. I think they're going to be no less than, like, $350.
Yeah, I mean, that's understandable.
But I hope they be in a range, you know.
That's reasonable.
And I hope that...
Also, Microsoft, please do what you did maybe 2 years ago. Invite me to your conference so I can get some free consoles. I wanted an Xbox Slim when you guys came out with them. Everyone in the audience got one, and you did not invite me. So please invite me. My name is Joycelyn Arnold. You can go on the site, find my contact info. You guys know who I am. Go find that.
And invite me. My name is Channing Tatum.
Ladies, remember that?
Yeah, Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
Magic Mike. I spell mine differently. I was in Magic Mike Jr. That didn't even sound right when you think about that. No, Magic Mike Jr. That, you know what?
Let's just
scratch
moving.
That from the record. Can you pull that one from the record?
So, but yeah, next-gen consoles really seems like a big thing, as well as just everything else has been going on. Because last 2 years or so for E3 have been very meh. Last year, it was good. There was some good stuff going on, but overall, it was kind of like, right.
I'm cool. looking. I'm going to go out on a limb and say I'm looking for big things from E3 this year because
I think everyone is.
And I think because a next gen console, the Wii U, has come out, that the other two manufacturers have to make some sort of splash this year. Why? Because Nintendo has an opportunity to capitalize even more. You know, and they can't give Nintendo a chance to right the ship before they get an announcement or something out about the next. Because
there's been
console.
Lots of speculation lately, like recently, about new consoles anyway. And you never really heard anything. You keep hearing rumors and like little things here and there. So I'm really thinking this year is going to be, this is the year that we're actually going to hear something from developers' mouth and from companies' mouth saying we are going to.
Yeah. Well, I think that they were waiting to see if the world ended on December 21st.
Just to make sure.
Since they didn't, now they're going to start releasing stuff about the next gen console.
Everyone's going there. Like, we're not going to die. It's okay.
Yeah. The next PS3 actually cures cancer from what I hear.
I still think that's funny, even though you pointed out when PS3's system was down, the accomplishments we made.
Oh, man.
In that time.
Can you imagine gamers. If Xbox Live and PSN went down?
If everyone just went down.
Now, Anonymous, do not go and try out this theory because the economy might recover.
No, not even just that. Just the entire internet and the server just shut down for a week. The accomplishments and procrastination that
I think families would probably get back together.
Families would heal. Time would just stand still. The economy would raise.
People realize how many children they really have.
The wars would end. Like, I have a son?
You know, there will be... what would you do if somebody said, hey, there'll be universal peace if the internet was shut down?
I don't know. I'm not even sure.
What would you take?
I don't even think this generation would even be able to make that decision.
Like, wait,
let me Instagram this first.
Let's fight.
Let me tweet that first.
I need Google for my job. If they shut Google down, they realize I can't do my job.
But I work at Google. What does that mean?
It's ridiculous. But I think that, I don't know. I'm hoping something good. Like I said, Mass Effect 3, they're going to finish it off real good this year. I'm looking forward to the next Dragon Age, whenever that comes out.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Dragon Age because I really enjoy
it. There was some terrible news the other day, and I hope it's not true. There was some talk about a movie based on Dragon Age Origins, and I was like, Jesus Christ, please no.
No.
No. That game, no. It's like Assassin's Creed. No, you cannot even attempt to touch
if
that.
If you make a Mass Effect movie, just CGI it with the voice actors that played in the game. I'm not feeling the live action because if they get that dude from Lost to be Shepard,
oh my God,
I'm gonna be upset. You know,
somebody gonna end up missing.
Yeah, they're gonna.
Bioware gonna be
somebody
lost.
Somebody ridiculous like no. Bruce Willis.
Bioware is gonna be lost if you put that dude.
Yeah.
On a movie.
Nah, they'll do something like, we need somebody recognizable. Let's get Bruce Willis to play.
Bruce
Shepard.
Willis is like, have you seen Expendables 2?
No.
He's old.
No, they'd do something crazy. Like, let's get The Rock to be Garrus. No, we're not going to do this type of thing. I'm not feeling it. Oh, one last question before you leave, what I want to bring up. What about the slew of movies that's coming out this summer?
Yeah, we have a lot of nerdy good movies coming out, too. There's like Star Trek Into the Darkness, Pacific Rim.
Man of Steel. Come on.
Man of Steel,
talk
too.
Talk to me, somebody.
Christopher Nolan's in that now. Another Avengers. Not really out, but it's been talked about. Iron Man 3. Thor 2 is going to be coming around Christmas season next year, too. This year. A lot of stuff.
It's a whole lot
Oblivion.
Oblivion.
Tom Cruise actually kind of looks good in there. Morgan Freeman's there.
Oh,
doing
I
his
got
thing.
To go see it then.
Best get to swim and get to dying. You know?
Go see Django.
Lucius. Django was awesome. You can go see that anyway. So many good movies have come out recently.
A bunch of good movies that's coming out.
Really good stuff. Gangster Squad was really good. Even though people said it was terrible, I loved Gangster Squad.
Gangster Squad, yeah.
So the whole Mickey Cohan story. But it was more about Mickey Cohan being taken down.
Kick-Ass 2 coming out this year.
Yeah, Kick-Ass 2. Kick Behind 2. This is a family show. Will Smith and his son was like another After Earth.
After Earth. Yep.
It's pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good.
I heard Samuel L. Jackson is starring in I Am Legend 2.
It's like it's after the zombies.
The mother files.
It's like, I'm tired of these MF and zombies. It's MF and town. This is how I talk. I can't help it.
Yeah. I heard that Dave Chappelle's going to play him in flashbacks. But it is good to be back.
Yeah, it is.
It's good to be back. I think that
I'm just enjoying wafting in the GRT-ness of Gamers Roundtable. whatnot.
I know. We actually have a round table, but it's off to the left.
Yeah. I don't even know why we're not, sitting at the round table.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe because there's a printer on it.
Probably.
There's a printer on it. But Jace has a lot of special guests lined up to be joining into the GRT podcast. Coming forward. She's working on
Batman.
Batman. Oh, yeah. Batman. That guy.
He's going to be here.
He's going to be here a couple of times. He said he'll stop by. Since the movies are done with, he said he really don't have much to do.
Got some free time. He made Alfred cry, so his lifelong dreams have been accomplished.
Yeah, and the stuff he has to say is astronomically crazy. But
Christopher Kershaw.
I'm looking forward to the rest of it. Go to Jake Kuro.
We have Christopher Kershaw. I hate Bane's voice.
Why you hate Bane's voice? I love Bane's voice,
but it's like, I don't know what you're saying. I just really wish Bane and The Rock and Batman and like King Cobra would get in an argument so I can just listen.
I want to tell you that go to jkuro.com to get your latest games and news.
Do you accept his resignation?
Do you accept that you will get the latest games and news from jkuro.com?
Speaking to the microphone, is that what you're saying?
You get all the latest games and news. Tune in to her on YouTube and Twitter, as well as Google
Plus. Seriously, that's a question I want to ask everyone. Like, between Bane, just Bane and Batman in general, who else would have like an awesome argument between Bane, Batman, and whoever else? It would just be funny to listen to.
Bane, Batman, I would throw in Sean Connery. Sean Connery, Ron Burgundy.
Rocky.
And Rocky. oh my God, Rocky, yes. But the five people I want to see argue is Bane, Batman, Sean Connery, Rocky, and Ron Burgundy, just in a round table.
Escalated quickly.
Escalated real quickly. And Brick will hit somebody with a trident. Also, Ron Burgundy 2 is supposed to be coming out.
Yeah.
I don't know what Will Ferrell's going to do to try to top the first one. I think that movie you leave because the first one was a classic. And I don't think you I can only think that one will go downhill. But then again, we'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We had another topic, but I feel like that's going to escalate way too quickly.
What's
too
the
fast.
Topic?
The issues with we had recently because the president actually ordered a talk with all the media about control, like gun control and violence, and it was supposed to be all media outlets, but it seems like it's mostly gaming, as if they're blaming the gaming industry for the violent issues that have occurred in our country the last couple of months.
I'm not gonna let this particular topic escalate to the point where we're gonna get upset with each other.
Yeah, because this is a very passionate topic. I would like to tackle this one like one day. Just this topic we'll discuss.
I will say this I'm just going to say this because this could be a heated topic, but I would like to have more people's opinion when we're talking about this. But
I think it will be one of those things we actually call on other people along to have this conversation.
If anybody hears anything, contact Jake Kuro with questions, I'll leave concerns, my email, and statements, and all that.
If you're interested in coming on, like, we'll love to have you.
For me personally, I will say that, one, I think the rating system of video games has done a very good job. I think it could be a little bit better, but I think it does way better than the movie industry.
Yeah.
I
work in a movie theater. I've understood and like seen these things occur.
I mean,
the movie industry and television does a lot worse with
as
their rating
a parent
system.
Who tries to, you know, make sure their kids are not exposed to stuff too soon. It's hard when you see a PG-13 or even a PG movie, you're like, this should not be rated this.
Yeah.
But the video game industry, I think, has done a pretty good job. Secondly, parents got to take more responsibility of making sure that their kids get age-appropriate gaming. And if you decide that you believe your child is more mature enough, you have to let them know that this is fantasy, this is a video game. Differentiate that from real life the best that you can. But if they see you going all gangster like Vice City, they're playing Vice City, what they're going to think life is like and what they can do, they're going to think it's Vice City.
Yeah.
So for people to try to blame the video game industry, it was talking about the guy that did the shooting, blaming it on Mass Effect and things like that, I think it's ridiculous because, you know, many people play those games, but they're not all doing those same things.
And I use myself as an example all the time because everyone says that games breed this violence act and all these things like that. Where honestly, Me, as well as my brother, we played video games since we were very young children.
Yes.
Maybe 5, 6 years old. We've always played video games, and we are very functional people in society. We've never really gotten any fights with violent people. And I'm the same,
you know?
And I've been playing video games since I was about 5 or 6 years old. I'm 22 now. And I've never done anything violent towards anyone.
I used to play missile defense, duck hunt with the gun.
I'm like the most docile, you know, black person you'll ever meet.
Shooing all that.
Ever.
That depends. That depends, y'all. You it depends on what you talk about. It depends on what you're talking about. You talk about like being human. Oh my gosh. You talk
that
about
is the not even.
You start down in the community and you'll see how docile she really is.
That is not.
If
the
I
were same
to say right
thing.
Now, if the community sucks, being human sucks, Merlin, it sucked, all that stuff sucked.
You don't even understand the art of British television and how amazing it is.
The American version is better than the British version.
Merlin?
It sucks.
Merlin?
Both of them.
No.
Merlin and Being Human.
Being Human's American version sucks booty on a stick.
It's better than the British version.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
It's like Gossip Girl times 10 with
it
vampires.
Is not Gossip Girl times 10.
Yes, it
10.
Is. That I is love Sam whole... Witwer. I love looking at you. My boyfriend's like your twin, but no.
It is a hardcore hitting show. It gets down to the facts of life when it comes to Dracula and the Boogeyman and all.
I can't even take it seriously anymore. Can't.
Yeah, you but honestly, she's not docile whatsoever.
Honestly, about the subject of violence in video games, from working at a movie theater, I've seen firsthand how these things occur. There's like really, really adult rated movies that come in. Adults bring their 14-year-olds and their kids in the weekend. I understand you want to let them see this movie because it's awesome, it's popular, but. Honestly, I was that person. I was like, I can't let you see it. They're not of age. You're not going to be with them. I can't let you in. I'm sorry, but that's just our rules. I understand the rating system. Yep. I understand how it affects people and how you can use it against people. So, no, you cannot come in this movie. You know, I'm sorry. And people need to take more responsibility for our kids because, honestly, it's not the world's like responsibility to raise your children. It's your responsibility as a parent.
I'm not a huge gun collector. Like, I don't own any guns. But I am a military veteran, and I will shoot you. If I need to, you know,
I think we both have training as marksmen. I was in RC 4 years. I was a rifle commander. I have the training to
shoot you. I'm a marksman on a 9mm. I'm a marksman on M16. I know how to shoot the M203 grenade launcher. I carried those weapons when I was in Iraq. I'm a proponent for the Second Amendment. I believe that people should have the right to bear arms. I think that one thing that we have an issue is that you can get a dirty gun too easily.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we can tighten down on that, but that's going to be extremely hard. But, you know, the moment they start infringing on people's rights to bear arms and breaking the constitutional rights, and I know that a lot of them have been subverted already, but when they start doing those type of things, it brings to mind a totalitarian government. It brings to mind, you know, it just brings Big Brother into the picture. There's got to be a way that we can solve this thing and not infringe on people's rights.
Yeah.
And I know that we can have stricter gun control, but to try to blame it on the media, you know, we expose our kids and our society to stuff that we shouldn't do. But we have to put some onus to the parents that are in the household.
Because there's too much one-sided in the situation.
We're getting to the point to where the government is raising our children, and that's not the way that it should be. Parents should be raising their children. That's my thought as a parent.
It should be, because honestly, like I said before, it's not the world's responsibility to raise your kids.
Exactly.
And even though the media is a very questionable thing at times, when you what you see on TV and what you see in movies and video games also, because we are guilty for some things, it isn't our responsibility to raise your kids. It's not a responsibility to raise your kid in the store if I see him crying or anything like that. It's my responsibility to say something, hey, you okay? But you're not my child. It's not my responsibility to take you home, nurture you, make sure you have the right life.
But then on one side, it takes a village to raise a child, and that means keeping your child trying to do the right thing and encouraging them. You know what I'm saying? But it got to start at home. You know, teachers can do only so much at school. Authority figures that are not at home can only do so much. They got to get that stuff at home. That's what I believe. I play Borderlands. I play Grand Theft Auto. I play all these games. My kids don't go out and do those things. They see me play those games. I try not to in front of them as much as I can, but they see those things. But what do? This is a game. We don't do this in real life. We don't kill people. We don't do all these things. These are not things that
we don't put faith in the hay barrels.
You know what I'm saying?
You gotta try to differentiate
between that fantasy and know what you're exposing your kids to. And if your kid can't handle it, you gotta know that.
You gotta cut it off.
It's your business as a parent to know that. That's my opinion as a parent.
I think parents don't get into their kids' business a little bit too much nowadays. You just don't get into kids' business. You feel like they're adults. Even though they're 14, they can handle themselves. Like, no, they cannot. They're 14.
If I'm paying for everything, I'm in your business. That's in the end of the day. When you're paying the mortgage, you got your own business. But while you're in my house, yeah. I'm going to give you a certain amount of right to privacy. But as a parent, if there's red flags, and I'm going to see if there's red flags, I'm going to come see about you. And that's my job. That's my job to do, to make sure and try to steer you from going down the path of some other people. And the thing is that you get down to the bottom of these people and you realize a lot of them saying there wasn't nobody there. There was nobody there for me. You know, and
hopefully, that's too often the story behind a lot of problems that we have in the country, is that there isn't anyone there for people, and there isn't anyone, like, in a kind of parental sense, to be there for anyone because everyone's doing their own thing. Everyone's so busy with their own lives, they don't really pay attention to their own kids and their own responsibilities.
Yeah, but to blame it on the video game
industry. Yeah, I mean, it's not even about the video game industry. To blame it on anyone except partially, at least for yourself, is always a problem, because there's always two sides to the story. If you're part of something, you're probably to blame even a little bit for it.
Yeah, but people, you know, they make scapegoats out of things. And I think that the gaming industry,
it has been scapegoat for a while.
Music and that in hip hop culture,
because gaming
or death metal, I think it's taken the brunt of criticism in places that
gaming in general has been a scapegoat very often recently. Yeah. It's been in the news a lot, starting with but getting really big with the Mass Effect issue on the first game, the sex scene. It's just it's been the scapegoat many times recently, and we understand why it is, but at the same time, you cannot blame video games for what's going on in our country, our society.
I think that.
Not video games alone, at least.
On all sides, there are things that we can do. Does it really need to be a hardcore sex scene in a game?
It doesn't, but at the same time, it isn't a hardcore sex scene.
I know, but you get close to Duke Nukem forever.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing is, if this is happening now, how long before?
Yeah, so it always is a thing where it can escalate, but we like have to stop before it escalates and also understand that there are certain things you can shield your children from, you can shield your family from.
But some things don't have a place in a video game at all.
Yeah.
And, you know, once again, that line has been crossed a little bit. But to blame games on stuff, I think that's just, that's just bull.
So once again, there is something that's still unfolding right now. There's a lot of stories you can find about it on the internet, like Otaku, IGN, GameSpot, everyone's talking about it. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's something we're going to revisit one day, maybe, because it is such a passionate heated topic. We talked another extra 15 minutes just about that. But just, it is one of those topics that it can go so many ways, so many issues, so many things going on in that just one topic. So we'll probably revisit it at some podcast in the future, with some special guests, just to have more of a diverse feel to the conversation.
And I think that I'm going to join in on that one as well.
Don't stand on ceremony here, Mr. Word. But yeah, so.
Let's not stand on the ceremony here. Still waiting.
Brad Tart.
Alright, yes.
Alright, I think that's about it for today. We shall be visiting you guys again very, very soon and more regularly right now.
This is officially the longest podcast that we've ever had.
It is?
Yes, it's at 47 minutes.
Wow.
At this very point.
Well.
You know, but it's good to see your face. Well, I can't say that. I just saw you 2 days ago.
Well, yeah. It's good to you guys to hear our voices again.
Yeah, yeah. It's good to be talking to each other across from the microphones again on these AKGs.
Hi, Soul Spring.
Hi, Jay Carroll.
But,
I like your hair.
Thank you.
I probably should have said that at the beginning, because that would be.
I wish you guys could see my cheesy smile, but you can't. But like always, thank you guys for listening to us. Always go visit JCool for other information. Follow me on Twitter, like me on Facebook, all that good stuff.
And that is about it.
Yeah, that's about it.
As we get through, you know, for those that want to make like videos and podcasts and things like that, I'm gonna be, you know, shooting some more behind the scenes stuff on how we do this thing.
How the operation of JCool
and,
works.
How it works. And also, if you want to start doing these things for yourself, you know, or just, you know, you want to learn how to shoot videos or photography, anything in general, you know, for the working man, you know, you don't have that budget. I'm going to give you some tips and tricks on how to get that thing done, to get the highest quality for the lowest value.
Yeah. Also, at the same time, JCool is hiring. I'm looking for staff writers and people who just want to help out with me. So if you are interested in that, for more details, go ahead and email me as well for podcast information, cosplay, movies, gaming, all that good stuff. So look at that stuff. I think we're done here. We're out.
We're done. I will say also, though, if you have any questions on any type of tech, or any type of digital camera, video camera.
Just like,
You can email me at soulspring@gmail.com if you want to learn how to get into the behind-the-scenes production stuff that you want to use, that type of advice.
Yeah.
We here's for you.
So all the information is down below.
Jay Kuro is expanding.
Yeah.
Expanding.
Moving out.
Taking over. Moving. Like the Blob.
Moving on up to the east side.
People may not. People don't know that reference.
Yeah. Locked apartment in the sky. We're getting a locked apartment in the sky.
All right,
with a Fight Club in the basement. Bump
that. I want a Sky Raider, like, what's the thing, the Avengers?
I want a Death
on?
Star without the, like, one fatal flaw for one tiny airplane to just destroy.
I can't top a Death Star.
Yeah.
That's messed up, man.
Yeah.
I'm just going to get me an aluminum Falcon. Soul Spring.